103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with Brian and Peter. And guess what? This week we do have Peter on the phone. Hello, Peter.
Brian, how are you? Been a while since we spoke, my man.
It has indeed. Just before I talk to you, we're brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on greensacks.ie. Peter, it's
Brian.
Been a while.
It's been a good while, my man. We're like the Bay City Rollers. Are we getting back together?
Oh, I don't know. I think we're back together. Actually, I haven't spoken to you on the Sod Show direct since the last time I was on the Sod Show, which was, you know, not 12 weeks ago, but last year.
But look, Brian, I mean, don't get me wrong. Any landscape gardener who has a man who wears a shirt and tie and says, can I have money at the end of the week? You know, it was a long summer, winter of discontent, and then it was a long hot summer, in the words of Jimi Hendrix, and it's just been go, 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 and more go, and I think you'll probably agree with me, it's great to have David Corskin behind the scenes helping out and making life a little bit easier, because in fairness, the Sod Show has grown a little bit since we first aired, what was it now, 2010 or 2011, I can't remember. Am I getting a little bit old? Am I getting a little bit delirious? But sure, look, there you go. It's good to talk to you again anyway.
It is indeed. So what is it like working out in the beautiful Irish sunshine that we had? I know it's kind of dipping away at the moment, but what's it like working out there in the old shorts?
It's, well, you know, I'm 365 in the shorts as it stands.
Yeah, but then you get the weather for it.
Then you get the weather for it. But last week, Brian, the last 3 weeks, they were tough. They were so tough. I know if you're over in Cyprus, for example, where it's 35 Celsius almost summer round, I think when it goes over 35, hitting to 40, I think that's when they actually have, I don't know, the Irish have an equivalent of when it rains, maybe. I don't, but they stop working. But I think in Cyprus, once it goes over 35, they stop the working bit. It was physically tough. It's not a complaint. It's better than having the snow and the minus 18 Celsius that we would have had on Christmas Day 2010-11. So by far is it a complaint at all. And in that in mind, I suppose, it was absolutely wonderful to see. And didn't it cheer the nation up? And isn't it nice to see ice creams and people sunbathing making the front page of the Irish Times versus some politician and some bank manager? And isn't it great? And kids were laughing and singing and smiling, and sure, what more could you ask for?
But we have just quickly gone from famine to feast to famine, because I kind of followed the story of the farmers and their fodder, and it must have parallels in horticulture, that we had so much water, nothing was growing, and then we had this kind of levelling off, and we got this massive shoot of growth about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and then we got 3 weeks of sun, and we're back to square one again, where we've got so much sun that we're not used to, we're in trouble again.
I know Chagas would have reported soil temperatures, I think it was last week, of about 28 Celsius. And I'm told at this time last year, it was about 6 degrees Celsius in Ireland. If I'm really, really, really honest with you, the lick of water that we would have had of recent probably has just wetted the surface. It probably hasn't done a whole lot more. I know there was photographs in Galway, again on the front of the Irish Times, where it was literally like monsoon, and then all of a sudden I'm told it's sunshine again. So, you know, look, it's cleared the air, it's a little bit easier, it's a little bit easier to work in, it's a little bit easier to walk around in, and guess what, I'm still in my shorts and my t-shirt. But look, happy days and sunshine, and it's still not snowing, and I don't think any horticultural landscape gardener contractor will argue with what we're having at this moment in time, which is pretty all right as far as I'm concerned.
And you're a full-time man about it, because you do this Monday to Friday, but at the weekend you take the microphone out to places like St Anne's Park and do more.
Well, I'm Monday to Saturday, Brian, and I think on my day off, yes, I go out to places like parks with my roving microphone and try and get a little bit of sideshow in, which I wouldn't suffer the world either.
That's a perfect cue for this week's interview. Peter Donegan at the Rose Festival in St. Anne's Park, Raheny, talking to Christine O'Flynn of the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society.
My name is Christine O'Flynn. I'm the president of the Irish Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society.
Christine, there's a lot of people listening to this and they're kind of saying Fuchsia and Pelargonium Societies. We're aware of the horticultural societies and maybe more the DIY groups as gardening societies might go. How long has the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society been on the go?
It's on the go about 18 years at this stage. Now, it was founded in Belfast, but the intention always was that it would be a countrywide society. And then about 15 years ago, we started talks down in Dublin, and we started having our shows in Dublin as well. And it's a small society, because our members are divided between Belfast and Dublin, but it's one of the few societies that cover the whole 32 counties. Which is good, and we have our committee meetings in Belfast, and we go up and down. I'm the president, or the chairman, our chair lady, chairman, is from Belfast, and the secretary is from Belfast. We have two treasurers, one for the Eurozone from Dublin, and then the Stirling area up in Belfast. It's the only complication we have is the money, but we work that out, and we don't have any fallings out over it. And we get on very well with our friends up there. We've made friends now through the years.
A lot of people at home are kind of saying Fuchsia Pelargoniums. If you think back to those listening to this in podcast or on radio, you might remember maybe your grandmother had a bush how would you describe a fuchsia flower? It's almost like trumpet shape with little things kind of pointing out of needles, so to speak.
Well, that's one way of describing it. There's a whole, I think the Irish description, the name Diora Day is beautiful. That's the tears of God. And that's the very, very old Irish name for it. And sometimes you do see a little drop of honeydew coming from the end of the I think that's where they got the name from. But it's a beautiful plant. If you're around West Cork, Kerry, any of the coastlines, it's just growing wild in the ditches. And people come from all over the world. You wouldn't believe it, but we meet up with the societies here. And they've come from New Zealand, Australia, Vancouver, South Africa to see our fuchsia hedges. And I don't think the tourism people make enough publicity about this, you know, because it would encourage groups of gardeners to come. This year now we had a French group came from around the Paris area, and they visited gardens in Dublin and down around West Cork, and the fuchsia hedges were one of the big things that they wanted to see as well.
And for those again listening at home who aren't au fait, let's say, with gardening as much as I would be or you would be, the geraniums the pelargoniums, my apologies, but they would be most famed for what we would plant into our window boxes or our hanging baskets, if that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair, and some people think we've been very posh when we call them pelargoniums, but we're not. It's just that geraniums cover the whole species, the hardy and the tender ones, but they're the hardy geraniums, but the ones that we grow here that we call geraniums and window boxes, they actually originate in South Africa. And they're a tender ones of the species, and this is why they're actually all called pelargoniums. But it doesn't matter what you call them, as long as you know what you're talking about. And when you're trying to buy it nowadays, it's actually only in the UK and here that they're called geraniums. If you go anywhere in the continent, they're pelargoniums. Everybody calls them pelargoniums. I suppose. I don't know. I don't know why we stick to the geraniums. But I said some people look at us and say, "My God, they're very posh. They wouldn't call them geraniums." And we're not really. It's just that our society has only two species of plants in it, and we try to be as precise as we can be.
Would have had Frank Foley, who would have been involved, or one of the founder members, I suppose, or would have been one of the earlier members of the Clontarf Horticultural Society on the go. I have a little voice in my head saying we're you the right wing kind of spin-off group that said we should know stuff this, we're going to go off and just do the specialise in pelargoniums and fuchsias. What happened there? How did it all come about?
Well, you see, our society has started in Belfast, so it was a special society and actually started as just the Irish Fuchsia Society. And there were a couple, for some reason, people who grow fuchsias seem to love pelargoniums as well, and they seem to go together. And after a while, they were persuaded to add pelargoniums to our society, and it's amazing. You can see the show here. Yeah, it's a big marquee, and there's 35 tables, and we can fill that completely with just between fuchsias and pelargoniums. And the reason we have is some people think we run a show just to show off what we can do. It's not actually. It's just to let people know the different varieties that you can get in pelargoniums. You have the zonal type that we all know. They're the ones our mothers grew, and then you can get the regals then, which are the reels, blousy ones. You get the little angels. There's a huge range of them, and people come in and say, I never knew that they were pelargoniums or fuchsias. The same thing with fuchsias. And it's just not education. That sounds very pedantic, but it's just to let people know what's going.
I remember when I was about 9, and I can hear wholesome.ie, that's our wonderful Katrina in Balbriggan. She's at home listening to this, I'm sure, with David Corscadden, and they're maybe laughing at me, but back in the days when I used to grow plants under my bed, and then I put them down into my dad's shed, and then I moved them over to the local college because they had a glasshouse over there with Brother Coleman, who taught me how to take geranium cuttings, and we used to nip a little bit off and put it into a tray of water, and it used to produce roots. And I remember watching the roots kind of first come out and waiting until they were maybe a quarter of an inch long before I potted them on. It hasn't really evolved anything further than that, has it? It is that simple to grow them, is the point I'm making.
It's that simple, and it's even simpler than that, than putting them into water. If you just put them into some sort of sandy compost in a small pot, a short cutting about 2 or 3 inches under a leaf, that's where the roots come from, where the leaves come out, and you don't even need to take it from the water into compost. That way it'll root into the compost and save you one step. And the one thing about roots in water, they do everything roots in water, but the roots can be quite brittle. And there is the danger, you have to be very, very careful when you're potting them on. But if you just put them straight into the pot, they'll actually root just as easily there too.
Quick one for you. How did you, or what happened when you came home that day, or to your kids, or to the husband, or the next door neighbour, and said, honey, you'll never guess what, I've decided to join the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society. Did you? I mean, you can understand maybe if you'd kind of said, I joined the motor car club and we have a vintage car, I would have said, fair enough. But was there a bit of a giggle or a chuckle or a what is that when you said that?
I'm afraid my family just take it. I do. So they're easygoing, I must say. And my husband is the one that would often suggest, if the weather is cold and I'm potting something outside, why don't you bring that into the kitchen? And he's quite happy to put up with the mess around the kitchen table in cold weather. So I must say, I have a very, very obliging family.
That's a touche, and I think anybody who's how would you say, attached by any format to anybody who's involved in gardening needs somebody who's terribly understanding. Bring this back down to basics. I know we all, like I said earlier, have grown some form of geranium in a window box or a hanging basket, or we may have taken some form of cuttings like myself in water or with rooting powder. These seem to be the creme de la creme of fuchsias and pelargoniums. What makes what you have on display here, which is absolutely spectacular, as a by the way, and well done, but what makes what you do here a first prize, a second prize, a third prize, and you have awards and rosettes and certificates for the people who have entered. What makes a great one as versus an all right one?
Well, the chief thing is it's the shaping of it. When you're growing a fuchsia particularly, you can get a fuchsia, and if you leave a fuchsia go, it just heads for the stars sort of thing, because that's what is geared to do. So what we usually do is that when it gets to about 3 sets of leaves, you pinch out the top, and then you get 3 sets of branches, side branches coming from where those leaves were. Then if you pinch them again, you end up where you would have one stem with maybe 3 or 4 flowers on top of it. You end up with maybe a plant with maybe 36 branches, all covered in fuchsias. And it's just the pinching out, and they need space to grow evenly and to be turned. But now, it sounds a lot of hassle, but it's not actually. When you're into it, I mean, you'll go out and you'll take your cuttings. And again, timing is important. If you if you cut back a plant, you can make a most beautiful plant. If we keep pinching it back, you'll get a lovely plant but no flowers. But if you pinch out a single flowered fuchsia, it takes 6 to 8 weeks for it to form flowers and to actually come into flower the last pinching. If you have a double variety, it takes 10 to 12 weeks. And if you work back from when you want to have a lovely display of fuchsias and take your last pinching out at that time, you can actually get them into flower at the right time.
For those listening at home, I don't know. There are people with pubs, there are people with businesses, there are people who maybe just want to buy one special plant for somebody who they love a little bit dearer than they love somebody else, maybe. I don't know. Is there a one type of fuchsia that you love with all of your heart that would have to be top-notch, like picking the Jaffa cake over the Jammy Dodger kind of a thing, you know, hands down, that's the one you're having. Is there one fuchsia or one geranium that you would recommend anybody to go and get?
Well, that's a bit like asking which is your favourite child now, which isn't very easy. But I do think there are some of them now, just looking across now, we have a section here for trifilia fuchsias. Now, trifilia fuchsias, they're different to the other ones because they flower in clusters. At the end of a stem, they're treated differently. They're kept compact, but they're clusters of maybe 6, 8, 10 flowers altogether. Usually, maybe could be 2 to 3 inches long. And a trifle I would recommend is an absolutely beautiful fuchsia. Now, it's one that does need protection in the winter. Sometimes you get away with the tender fuchsias if you're lucky and you're having a bad winter. But trifles actually need a minimum temperature of about 7 degrees to keep them going. Otherwise, if they're bare-legged, if you know what I mean. But they are a lovely fuchsia to have. That type I would recommend. But I said there's so many, it would be impossible to pick out a particular one. I have a lovely one this year that I got in the Netherlands last year, one called Windtapper, but it's a trailing fuchsia. And it's one that I absolutely love at the moment. Now, that would be my favourite at the moment. And the flower is enormous. The flower is about 3 inches long and it just trails straight down. It's in a hanging pot. And that would be my favourite at the moment. It'll change.
As I'm sure it will, yes. And one geranium that you would recommend?
If anybody can get their hands on the angel varieties, they're small growing, compact. They grow in small pots. They're very forgiving. They don't need a lot of moisture. And they produce if they're fed and watered and potted up only when they need to be potted on, but they flower in quite small pots and they'll give a stunning display for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Do you find when you walk into a garden centre and you see the fuchsia display or the geranium display or the section that they have, you know, allowed for them, do you find yourself going, ah, oh, for God's sake, not them again, you know, like the digestive biscuits, just, oh, for, you know, you think they would have put in the Jammy Dodgers, for God's sake, made a bit of an effort. Do you find yourself doing that without even thinking?
Well, I do actually, because an awful lot, I'm sure that people won't be too pleased with me, but we get a lot of our plants from growers and we have named varieties. And the only thing is that the plants that come in nowadays, they all probably originate much in the same sort of nurseries. They're propagated, just micropropagation, and they get millions and millions of plants off the one plant, and they're cloned, and this is what come into the garden centres, and you get the same variety, beautiful varieties, the ones that are tried and tested and good varieties, like Winston Churchill now will always turn up. Just trying to think of another one, Swing Time. There's a lot of ones and they're lovely plants, but you want something different, and this is why the nurseries are propagating them all the time, and they're bringing new ones onto the market. And some of them are disastrous, some of them are exactly the same as ones that have been there for years, but sometimes you get just something that's a little bit different, like that standard now that's down there. That's a beautiful standard, and that's the Dutch variety with the different, the long, the flowers are completely long. They're nothing like what you described. I've forgotten your description of it, but it didn't sound very much like a fuchsia. But anyway, this is even less like one. It's these are long. They're like trifle of flowers. The flowers are maybe 2.5 inches long, as a peach colour. And that you won't get that in nurseries here, and that's the shame of it because it's a difference. You know,
what's been your best day in the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society? The one you came home and went, honey, you'll never guess what just happened. Do you remember that moment? Do you have one of them that tops the pile?
I don't really. I know most years when we come back after setting up the show, now we have a brilliant, the committee here is absolutely brilliant. We're a small society and everybody has to, we have no committee running it and everybody else just comes along. Everybody has to work. And when you come down on a Friday when we're setting up, and then I go home on Friday night and you say, you won't believe what it looks like now, because you come into this empty, as you said, the size of the marquee, 35 empty tables, and say, what is going to end up in there tomorrow? And then you go home that night and suddenly there's this lovely display and people coming in. It's just the satisfaction of people coming in and say, gosh, that's a beautiful display. I enjoyed it, and the people who come back every year to the Fuchsia tent, as it's known, just going to say hello. I was here last year. Hi, I'm back again. You know, and the display changes every year because you have different plants every year, so it never looks the same. And some plants do good one year, and the next year they're dead, or maybe half dead, and they don't go anywhere. So that's the satisfaction, and that would be, I would have that eureka moment, as you call it, probably after a show so far, because our shows have been very, very, we've been very, very happy with them. And I think for the few members that we have in our society, they put on such a marvellous effort, and get such pleasure out of it as well themselves.
If people wanted to become a member of the Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society, is there a prerequisite? Do you need a degree in horticulture, or do you just need to have just one geranium, or do you just need an interest in growing stuff?
You don't need anything. An interest in growing, yes. And beyond that, no more. Because, as I said, there's no experts. I mean, I have no degrees, and I don't even claim to be an expert at this stage. I've been growing them for years, but I'm certainly not an expert. There's people that will come along and tell me things that I don't know either about growing them. So it's everybody. We have meetings. We have about 7 meetings a year. And they're not all in fuchsias and pelargoniums, because there's a limit to what you can say about fuchsias. That's the one thing about having just the two species society. But we have people, but there's always question time if somebody wants to ask questions. And then coming up to the springtime, we have cuttings, and we swap our cuttings around, and this is how we keep going, and we have the variety keep going. And the great thing about it is if I lose a plant, the chances are I've given 5 or 6 of them to somebody else, I can get it back from them again. So that's the good thing about being in a society.
Do you have relations and friends who go, oh no, it's Christine again, another geranium for Christmas, oh for God's sake, I wish you'd just give me a tin of roses. Oh no, she doesn't like roses, she only likes fuchsias. Do you get that?
No, I try not to push it on other people. I have a family that are totally oblivious of what a fuchsia. Well, now that's not fair, but they do come to the shows and they will help out, but they really don't grow a fuchsia or a pelargonium. So I don't, if I can't get my family to do it, well, I draw the line of trying to encourage anybody else. So I try not to do that.
If people want to find out more, do you have a website? Is there an email address? Is there a telephone number they can call to get in touch?
Let me see now. We have a website, but it's not our own website. If you know, it's a guy in Belfast who has put us onto his blog site or something. If you Google the Irish Fuchsia and Pelargonium Society, lots of things will come up. And the information is on Eurofuchsia. We are members of Eurofuchsia, which is the European Confederation of Fuchsia Societies. We meet once a year in different countries. And we're on that as well. My contact number would be on that as well.
Okay.
Which I won't give out. You know, you get that on the websites.
Yes.
And certainly somebody rang me last week. She had Googled me and she had got my name and address. So
excellent.
It's there.
Okay. In the meantime, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I hope I didn't talk too much.
You're fine. Brian, it's back over to you, mate.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Christine. With apologies for the scratchy microphone on that interview. Let's go to Song of the Week.
Some people been driving too fast. Some people still haven't a guess. But if there's one thing you gotta concede, you got to know who's driving your car. You get to sixth gear with your foot on the floor. It's just starting in a cruise too far. Thousands of people
people are regularly turning it out. And it's easy to find when you mess with your mind that you've gone beyond a reasonable doubt.
Freak Power, Turn On, Tune In, Cop Out from their 1994 album Drive Through Booty. Yes, indeed. It's the Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Brian Green, the complaints department, is open for his music choices. Donegan, you don't like my music.
Oh, God, would you not give me... Just bring back Muddy Waters, Brian, and all is forgiven. There's something so soothing about sitting on that Walton's rocking chair on that veranda, looking out across the fields of Ballyboll, smoking a pipe and having a cup of coffee at 6 in the morning, and then you come out with that, which is just phenomenal. But look, it woke me up. I was daydreaming there for a second.
I was just thinking there while that was on that there's many an Irish band from time to time we play. We're not averse to playing good Irish music here on the Sod Show when we get to play our song of the week, and it's absolutely nothing got to do with the garden at all. But there has been some great Irish bands who have names that are not unconnected with gardening, like Cactus World News. Did you hear me play them?
Cactus World News, Superstar Tradesmen. We had them on a while ago as well.
The Big Geraniums.
The Big Geraniums. Well,
do you remember them?
I remember the Frames.
The Garden Hasn't Changed Much. Have you heard of them? They weren't signed, but they were big in the Dublin scene in the late 80s.
Big Audio Dynamite, Hot House Flowers.
Hothouse Flowers, yeah. No, but we're saying that some of these bands actually within their name have a connection to the garden. Just thought I'd mention that. But yeah, complaints department open. You can write to us at Sod Show, The Sod Show on Facebook, or sodshow.com, where you can get all the back catalogue of shows from day one of this. The Sod Show. I was going to say the Sodcast there for a moment, but of course it's not.
Don't
the
confuse
Sodcast
people. No, no, don't confuse people. And there's also a postal address there where you can send us a stamped address envelope with some nice gifts or cake in it.
It's not the Dublin City FM, Docklands Innovation Park, East Wall, Dublin 3, is it?
No, it's care of Peter Donegan, Ballyboll, County Dublin. Thanks very much.
Wrong address, but you can write to that other address as well, because the wonderful people here at Dublin City FM will open our envelopes and tell us that we've got fan mail. What's coming up on the Sod Show in the near future, briefly?
Great news, the wonderful Jane Powers. Funnily enough, you mentioned the Sodcast, the predecessor to the Sod Show. Jane would have been one of those who was a guest in the very, very, very earliest days prior to coming on live on air, I suppose, when it was just podcast. Brian, you would remember that. She will be back on, God bless all things going well, next week with some pearls of wisdom. And after that, God only knows where the microphone will take me.
Okay, well, you make sure that your microphone has batteries and is ready to work and ready to go anywhere. And if anyone's looking for the microphone, get in touch with us and we'll see what we can do. Peter, it's been strange talking to you, because as I say, it's not often it happens here in this show.
I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or a compliment, Brian, but it's also been a pleasure talking to you once again.
Just for the listeners, it's not that we don't talk off air. We do obviously have production meetings over telephone and sometimes even over coffee face to face. But
coffee in Brussels, that would be.
It would. Brussels coffee. Irish coffee. Peter, it's been wonderful, and we're back next week at 3, and talk to you all soon. We're brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on greensacks.ie. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later.